Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday talking about a sure foundation, which is talking about how that the Word of God needs to be the absolute rock-solid foundation of your beliefs and of all of your values. It ought to give you direction in the choices that you make, whether it's getting married or choosing a job or doing whatever. The Word of God needs to be the foundation of everything. And yesterday I shared out of Matthew chapter 7 about that parable that Jesus gave about two men. One of them went out and built a house on a rock, and it, of course, was more effort to put a house on a rock because you have to dig through rock. It's a lot harder to dig through rock than it is through sand. But when the storms came, the one who had built his house upon the rock was able to withstand the storm. The one who took the easy way out, the one with the less effort and just put their house on the sand, it got washed away. And this is a perfect example of how it is in life. It takes more effort to discipline yourself and spend time in the Word of God and go against the current political correctness in our societies and stand out like a heel thumb in society. A lot of people say you stand out like a sore thumb, but I believe we are like a heel thumb. And it takes a lot of effort, and you get ridiculed. And, in my life, I have had people persecute me. I mean, I don't consider myself to be a person that's in the category of the Apostle Paul that's been beaten and stoned to death and put in prison, all those kind of things. But, I mean, there's been a lot of people that have thought I was crazy and that have ridiculed me, and we've got blogs written against me and all of this stuff. And there's people that think I'm just absolutely crazy for basing my life on the Word of God. But I tell you what, it's working. It's working. The Word of God has set me free. The Word of God has established my life to where there's a stableness in it. My emotions aren't up and down. I used to be an introvert, couldn't even look at a person and talk to them. And now I'm talking to millions of people. I'm doing things that I could not do. I used to be dirt poor, and now God has raised us up, and there are millions of dollars flowing through, and we're preaching the gospel around the world. I tell you, the Word of God is working. And you're just too late to tell me that this is crazy. And there's a lot of people that think, well, man, you have spent so much time in the Bible and you've studied and you've done all of these things. Well, that's like a man that digs deep through rock and uses that rock to anchor his house. And you know what? Because of it, you were able to withstand the floods. The easy way, the way that most people do it is just getting out and you're just sitting around watching TV and goofing off, and you aren't disciplining yourself and you aren't seeking the Lord and you aren't spending time in the Word of God. And I admit that that's an easier way to go, but you will have storms. And if you haven't anchored yourself in the Word of God, then I can guarantee you, you will not be able to withstand those storms. And you know what's going to have to happen? Is when the storm hits and when your house gets washed away, you're going to have to go running over to somebody's house who has built their house on the rock, who has anchored their life on the Word of God, and you're going to have to run to them for help. And you know, I don't mind helping people. That's what God raised me up to do. I love to help people, but in a way, it's nearly wrong. I don't know how to say this. I hope you don't take it that I'm griping or complaining, but I get tired of seeing people that I've tried to warn and I've tried to tell them what the Word of God says and I've tried to get them to base their life on it, and they just wouldn't do it because it took too much effort. And then when their house gets blown away, they come running and knocking on my door. And I want to help them, but at the same time, it's frustrating. You just want to say, I told you so. You should have done this. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you so before it happens, that you need to anchor your life in the Word of God. It's the only thing that's going to last. You know, the Bible says that the heavens and the earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. There is coming a time that this world will literally be destroyed, but whoever is standing on the Word of God is going to stand through whatever. And I have seen this in my own life. I have seen all of these plagues that come through, and people are just panic about pandemics and all of this stuff. The Word of God has given me a stability, and I'm not afraid of that because I know that God is my source and God is my healer, and it's taken away fear. I don't panic when there is a recession. And during this last so-called recession, while everybody else is panicked, we have grown and increased exponentially. We are taking advantage of the fear of other people. They're selling things for just pennies on the dollar of what it's worth. And it's worked to my advantage because the Word of God has given me a stability. When other people are fearful about thinking about where our nation is going and what could be happening, I've got a stability in my life because of the Word of God. I'm telling you, this works in every area of my life. This is something that I'm passionate about. And, you know, I often say this in our meetings, but people, they hear my testimony about my son being raised from the dead. They hear my testimony about how God has set me free from fear of other people and things like this. And they hear my testimony about how the power of God has flown through me, and I've been able to minister and pray for people and see God touch people's lives and lives be changed. And they hear these testimonies, and they say, man, I'd like that. And then when I start telling you what it is that produced it, you say, oh, I don't want that. That's too much effort. I want to build my house on the sand, but I want to get the same staying power and all of the benefits of having it on the rock, but I don't want to go to that effort. I don't know how to say this other than it just doesn't work that way. What I'm teaching right here is probably one of the most important things that you'll ever hear, is just trying to emphasize how important God's Word is to your life. You know, over in Mark chapter 4, I'm going to be teaching out of this chapter for quite a while because this is just a powerful, powerful teaching. Actually, if you were to combine Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, and also John's with this, and go through things chronologically, not just according to author. But if you go chronologically, there are about 13 parables that Jesus taught in one day's time. It's actually the most information about what a single day's worth of teaching was that we have in Scripture. And now, you don't get that if you just read Matthew or if you just read Mark. But when you put them all together, if you go, I've got a chronological Bible where I've actually put all of these things together. And if you go through there and see this, in one day's time, he taught like 13 parables, and every one of them, all of them, were about the importance of the Word of God. It says the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and he talked about seeds, and he talked about that the Word of God was like a seed. Anyway, I'm not going to have time to teach on every one of those, but let me just point out here in Mark chapter 4 in verse 14, he had already given the parable of the sower sowing the seed. He was getting ready to interpret it and to explain it to his disciples. And the first thing he said in Mark chapter 4, verse 14 is the sower sows the word. He wasn't really teaching his disciples about farming. He was using farming in the way that you plant seeds to illustrate how the kingdom of God works. So this whole parable was an illustration to show us that the Word of God is to the kingdom of God the way that seeds are to this world. Now, this is really important. The very fact that the Lord chose seeds to illustrate the Word of God and how it works is significant. Think about this. Everything that you see, every animal that you see, it doesn't matter what it is, every plant, every tree, anything, it all operates by seeds. Even human mankind on this earth, it's because the seed of a man is sown in a woman that you and that I exist. This entire world system could not function without seeds. It is the overriding law. You know, I've actually had people come to me before and pray and ask me to pray that they would get pregnant. And then I ask them, are you married? And they say, well, no. And man, I just tell them, I'm not praying for you. Either they are going to have to, you know, the only way you have children is through planting a seed, and either they would have to have an extramarital affair, which I'm not going to pray for, or if you aren't married, you aren't going to get pregnant if you don't sow a seed. Now, that ought to be obvious to everybody. And yet, in the spiritual realm, there are people who are praying for results and they don't sow a seed. And I think it's very significant that the Lord chose seeds to illustrate the Word of God, because in the natural world, you would think a person is absolutely crazy who's trying to get pregnant and have children, and yet they don't have a physical relationship with a man. They don't ever sow a seed. We would look at that and think that that's absolutely crazy. You would think that a person who's praying over their garden, and I mean they pray and they may water it and they may put fertilizer on it, but if you didn't plant any seeds, you would think that a person is absolutely crazy to pray and want results, want something to grow, a crop to grow without sowing a seed. See, in the natural realm, we look at this and all of us have accepted these absolutes and this is just the way it is. And you may think, well, I don't like the way it is. I've got other things to do. I don't want to get out there and dig in the ground and in the heat, and I don't want to get my hands dirty, and I don't want to deal with digging out the weeds, and I don't want to have to do all of this. And you may not like those laws, and you may say, well, I just don't like this. Well, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It's the way it works. Either you have to plant the seeds or you don't get a crop, or you have to go to somebody else who has taken those exact laws of seed, time, and harvest and have operated in it, and you have to go to the store and pay money to get what they've done. But somewhere or another, everything that you eat came through seeds, whether it's animals, whether it's meat, whether it's vegetables, whatever, it all came through seeds. And it's just a law. It's the way it works. Whether you like it or not doesn't change anything. It's just the way that it works. And the Lord likewise used a seed to illustrate how the kingdom of God works. Look at this passage over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This scripture also likens the word of God to a seed. And it says, you are born again. How did you get born in the first place? There was a seed sown that produced you and me. And if you get born again, there has to be the seed of God's word. God's word is like a seed. The word that is used here is the word spora, which of course, that's a word that we use for flowers, the way that they produce these spores and they pollinate and things. It's talking about a seed. And the word spora is a derivative of the Greek word sperma, which is talking about a sperm. This is talking about whether it's plants, whether it's animals, whether it's people. The whole world operates off of seeds, and likewise, the Word of God is a seed. You know, if I just took this one point, I could just say this over and over and over and over and over, and if somehow or another you were to get it into your heart that if you want healing, well then sow a seed for healing. If you want tomatoes, you have to sow a seed for tomatoes, or you have to go to somebody else who sowed a seed for tomatoes. They don't come just by prayer. They don't drop out of the sky. You have to sow a seed. If you want tomatoes, somebody's got to sow a seed to grow that tomato. If you want healing, somebody has to sow a seed. And the sad fact is, most people aren't sowing seeds themselves. They aren't taking the Word of God and meditating on it and speaking it. What they're doing is coming to somebody like me. And again, I'm not trying to scold you. I'm just trying to say that this is not really the best way of doing it. Instead of running to me and always wanting me to take the seeds that I've sown and the fruit that it's producing in my life, and then I give you this fruit of healing that I've been sowing, even though you may be in a situation where that's the only option you have at the moment, you shouldn't live there. You ought to get to where you sow these seeds. Somebody had to sow a seed. The same way as if you want a tomato, somebody had to sow a seed. If you aren't going to do it, well, then you got to go to somebody else and you're going to have to pay money to be able to get that tomato. If you didn't sow the seed for healing, if you didn't take the Word of God and sow it in your heart, somebody had to do it. And even though, praise God, there are people around that have special gifts of healing and there are people that have meditated in the Word and because of that they can help you get your healing, praise God for that. But you can't always count on that. You know, if you're in the middle of the night, you aren't going to be able to find my phone number. You aren't going to be able to call me. I'm not going to be able to go. I've had people buy plane tickets and fly in from just I mean, foreign countries, every state in the United States to come here and ask me to pray for them. And you know what? I don't mind doing that. Again, that's what God's called me to do. But if I was to allow it, I could spend all of my time just praying for people, and I wouldn't have time to study the Word. I wouldn't have time to do what God really called me to do. God really called me to teach you how to believe and how to receive. And you know, because of this, some of you may not understand what I'm about to say right here, but I've had to establish priorities in my life. And there are actually people who are wanting to come and reap the fruit that I've sown in my life, and they're wanting me to pray for them. And I have literally had to tell people that I can't do it because I wouldn't have time to minister in our Bible college. I wouldn't have time to study the Word. I wouldn't have time. My health would go down. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I can't just sit here and use myself up and just, you know, pray. I could be praying for people 24 hours a day and not sleep, but I couldn't do that very long before, man, I'd be gone. I think in the long term, I'm going to reach more people by pacing myself. And the number one thing that God has called me to do is to teach you how to believe and how to sow seeds. And this is what I'm trying to do. I'm really passionate about this. The Word is an incorruptible seed is what it says here in 1 Peter 1:23. That means that there's no times that, you know, you plant this seed and it doesn't work. God's Word always, 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 did I say that? Always produces. There is never a problem with God's Word. The big problem is that people aren't planting God's Word, or they aren't being faithful with it. They'll plant it and then they'll dig it up. You know, if you were to take a seed and put it in the ground and then dig it up every day to see what's happening, the thing would never germinate and it would never produce. And there's a lot of people that they spend 15 minutes in the Word like a devotional, and then they spend the rest of their day just griping and complaining and doing everything contrary, and they didn't let the Word abide in them. And then the next morning they get up and they plant it again. That's not going to work. You're going to have to get to where the Word of God becomes foundational. So remember this point, that in all of these parables that Jesus taught, all of these parables are about how the Word of God is like a seed. In the same way that in this natural world, nothing works without a seed, in the same way the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, has to have a seed. And the seed, according to Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the sower sows the Word. The Word of God is to the kingdom of God what seeds are to this physical, earthly kingdom. Now, that is a powerful truth. And, you know, here's another. I mean, you could just keep making applications and analogies and just stretch this out. But here's another point that I want to make with this. I believe that the Lord chose a seed because, you know what? You can't cheat this system. This system of God put down of seed and then time and then harvest, it's a law and it can't be violated. Now, see, if He would have taken some man-made system, like, say, for instance, educational system, and said that, you know, the Word of God is like studying in school or something like that, well, then that's not as great a comparison because you can cheat a man-made system, a social system. Every one of us watching this program, probably in school, you didn't do your homework, you didn't really keep up with your studies the way you should, and you goofed off. But then right before a final exam, you got in and crammed for your final, and you just stored things in your short-term memory, and you were probably able to pass the test. But now, if you've been out of school for 5 years or 10 years or however many years, many of you that passed the test because you had things in your short-term memory, you didn't really get it in your heart. It's not a part of you. So see, you beat the system. You passed, but you didn't really learn. In a social system, you can cheat. You can look like you're getting away with it, but you can't cram for a harvest. You try that with a harvest and you go out and the night before everybody else harvests their crop and you goof off and wait until the night before and you plant your seed, and I guarantee you it will not germinate and you will not get the crop. You cannot cram for a crop. You can cram for a test, but you can't cram for a crop. And you have to observe these laws. And there is a right time to plant. And then you have to just sit there. And it takes faith and it takes time. And likewise, see, this is one of the reasons that the Lord used the seed to compare the way that the Word works. Because there is a time that you need to plant God's Word in your heart and you need to give it time. And you can't just wait until you're in a crisis situation. Going back to that previous parable that I used out of Matthew chapter 7, if you have built your house on a sand and you have not built it on the rock of God's Word, and you're in a storm, and if the storm has blown your house away, well, you can't just plant a seed in the midst of that storm and expect an instantaneous crop that is going to give you the protection that you need from the storm. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to run next door to the person that did build their house on a rock. And you're going to have to seek refuge from them. And you're going to have to mooch off of somebody else who did take the seed of God's Word and put it into practice. You can't cram. You can't make God's Word just work instantaneously overnight. And because there is this time that's involved when you sow the Word of God in your heart until you see the crop, there's a lot of people that just can't make the connection. And they think, well, I gave in that offering and I believed God for a return. And you go look in your mailbox the next morning. And if you don't have all of the funds, then you say, well, all of these promises, all of these seeds about prosperity, see, they don't work because I planted and I didn't get it. Well, there is a seed, time, and harvest. And really, it's more like seed and then time and then harvest. Amen. And you just have to learn that. In the natural realm, you plant your crops. I mean, it depends on where you live. But, you know, if you're in some of the southern states, you can plant some crops in February or March. If you live in Colorado, you have to wait until like the end of May or June. But there is a time that you plant, and then it takes months before you start seeing the harvest come in. And likewise, the Word of God has a due season. The Scripture says, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And you have to give this due season there. The Word of God is just as sure and stable as these natural laws that all of us have come to recognize and we have conformed our life to it. But then when it comes to spiritual things, people just pray and they think, well, God, I prayed and I asked you to heal me and you didn't heal me, and so it must not be your will to be healed. It must not be your will for me to prosper. It must not be your will for this marriage to work because I prayed. But did you take the seed? Have you taken the instruction of the Word of God? Have you sown it in your life? Have you based your life upon it? Boy, this is powerful. This is profound. And I'm sharing things that the average person just doesn't think this way, and because of it, they don't have the same dependency, the same confidence and assurance in the Word of God that they do in natural things. I'm going to be sharing a lot on this. I think it's really, really going to help you. I'd like to encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get our materials on this. This is a teaching that everyone needs. This is foundational stuff. So please listen, and then please call or write today and receive these materials.
Andrew's complete teaching titled A Sure Foundation is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD album when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first teaching in the Sure Foundation series titled Laying a Sure Foundation is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this first CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, the number one way that I have of sharing these foundational truths from the Word of God is through our Charis Bible Colleges. And it is really growing. I tell you, people are getting hold of this revelation. People are beginning to realize how that the Word of God can change them. And we have just seen a huge increase, not only here in Colorado, but also all through all of our Bible colleges. We have, I think it's in just a couple of days, we'll have 15 Bible colleges scattered around the world. And we have just started an online Bible college. Those courses, the next semester online, is going to start somewhere towards the end of January. So we have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call and inquire about either coming to our Colorado Springs Charis Bible College, one of our extension schools around the world, or taking it online or by correspondence.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar this week, December 31st through January 2nd, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 28th through the 30th. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. And in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
I think that when people were closer to the land and they just realized that if you want a crop, you got to sow a seed and you've got to give it time and you've got to observe the laws. It's got to get the right amount of moisture. It's got to have the right temperature. And when people were living close to that, I think that it was easier for people to make this connection. But, you know, there's a lot of people that they think that your food comes from the grocery store. The grocery store, of course, is just where they stockpile it, and that may be where you go to get it, but I can guarantee you somebody grew that food.